Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, Poisonees. This week's episode, broadcast on the 15th of September 2023, is a special Patreon release. While Nick and I are on our very short break, we wanted to give you one of our subscriber-only episodes for free. In addition to the main episodes that we release every single week on your favourite podcast platforms, we also have a Patreon account. Patreon is a platform that helps to support creators like us. For just $5 a month, you get an extra episode every single week, as well as a lot of extra bonus content. We also have a higher tier where you get more goodies personally sent by us and a special monthly feature. Patreon is also the place where we cover slightly more modern and occasionally more gruesome stories, such as Ed Gein, Jonestown, Rasputin, our very first one, and some truly crazy capers, such as the 1904 Olympics and the Tottenham outrage. This week's episode, however, goes way back, and it is a very popular, very famous story of folklore, which we think you'll enjoy. If you'd like to know more about joining us on Patreon, you can visit us at patreon.com/thepoisonouscabinet, and we will be back with the main episodes in a couple of weeks' time. This episode was originally recorded in May 2022. Enjoy! Hello, Poison Patreons. Welcome to another episode of Deadly Nightcaps with me, Sinead.
And me, Nick.
Bringing you more tales of poisoning and murder cases, old and new, all washed down with drinks that make your batteries flat. Thank you to all of our delicious, lovely new Patreon subscribers. We hope you're having a lovely week.
Yes, indeed. What a very delightfully grey week it is so far.
It has been gloriously sunshiny. Now it is grey and rainy.
Yes, that was summer. It is over.
That was it. Well, the garden needed it, Nick.
Oh, it did. The plants a wonder, it did.
I was very pleased. I always tell people at the time of year, which is a very twee thing, but still, I'm going to say it anyway. I always get very pleased that I've got a beautiful lilac tree in my garden. It's called Italian Skies. I've spoken on it on the podcast before, I am sure.
I have no doubt.
Resplendently blue. And as soon as the flowers come out, not only does it look lovely, but it becomes a bee sex emporium, basically. It is full of bees having sex and they are going mad out there. And so, yeah.
It sounds like a delight.
I am helping nature.
Well done.
With my big bee sex tree.
Well done, you. Well done. I'm sure there's some tiny bee rosette they're going to give you. Extra honey for Sinead.
I bloody well deserve some lovely lilac-y honey. I am a marvellous beekeeper.
You're a bee whore, that's what you are. You're a
bee. I think I'll find I'm a bee madam.
Oh, my apologies for the incorrect terminology.
How are you, anyway?
I'm all right. I have no bees.
No bees?
No bees.
Oh, you're beeless.
I know. Very sad. It was International Bee Day a few days ago.
There was a party at my house, I'll tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But you're all right, apart from the no bees.
Apart from, I think, I'm glad there are no bees here. Because that would be upsetting if I had bees in my house. I don't want bees in my house.
No, you don't want to live in a hive.
That would not be good. Although I do like honey. Choices.
Do you have it on your toast or do you just...
I like a bit of honey on my toast every now and again. Not all the time, but every now and again. I thought, ooh, I fancy some honey.
Just a little...
And there it is in the cupboard.
Honey from Yorkshire. What?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, Yorkshire bees. They are
the hardest working of the bees.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know if I'm doing Yorkshire or Lancashire, actually.
I don't know.
War somewhere. Good. Well, it's only Monday anyway when we record this. So the week is going well, clearly. Anything or anyone you would like to poison this week? You were so close to saying something there.
Currently, it's just, yeah, other people. Mm. Just in general.
They are the bane of our existence.
They are very annoying.
Yes.
Apart from you, obviously, and our dear, delightful listeners. They're safe for a week.
Good.
But everyone else, fuck them.
Okay, good. Well, we're making very few exceptions here. I quite like it.
Very, very few exceptions. I didn't have time to write a list, okay?
I mean, this is an excuse, if ever there was one, to have your loved ones listen to the podcast, because otherwise Nick's going to kill them, apparently. Yeah. Ah, but very importantly, Nick, what are you drinking?
I have a lovely glass of wine.
Oh, you got wine.
Oh, yeah. So it's been one of those days. It's been a mad, crazy, crazy, crazy day where they're full of annoying people and annoying things. And I was walking home and I'm going, oh, I really fancy a glass of wine. So I stopped at the wine selling shop and bought a bottle of wine.
And it's called that, isn't it?
It's called the Ye Oldie Wine Selling Shop.
Which is a front if ever you've heard of one. Definitely we are not selling drugs and weapons.
Yeah, I don't look at what goes on in the back. I just go in, get my bottle of wine and leave. No questions asked.
So. Big lilac tree shaking with bees in the background.
None of my business. Sinead's around.
What kind of wine have you got? Would you go for?
I have some lovely cock wine.
Okay, what? Oh, the chicken wine.
It's got a cock on the front.
La Ville Ferme, the wine that you frequently feature on the show. I bought a bottle of that myself the other day. I saw it and I went, that's the wine that Nick likes.
I do. I like the red wine. The red one.
I had the red one yesterday with a bit of beef. It was very tasty.
I find it very tasty and very inexpensive. It's about £7 for a bottle, which is quite bargainous. So yes, I should get shares.
I have no wine.
Well. Bad. That's bad planning on your part, I feel.
I have a glass of water. That's what I've got.
Well, that's very disappointing.
Because I'm doing another one of my Mondays where I think I drank everything in existence this weekend.
It must have been that you did drink everything in Canterbury this weekend.
I did. Oh, God.
You drank all the drinks possible and then some more.
At once.
Pretty much at the same go.
Yeah.
So it was impressive and terrifying at the same
exactly.
time.
Exactly. It's fine. I'm a machine. It's all right.
So is my liver now. It's fine.
The liver is not in a good place mentally anymore. It's in therapy. But yes, now I have a glass of water, but now I want a massive gin.
No gin for you.
No, apparently not. Well, Nick, shall we talk of poison and murder and death for a bit?
Oh, I mean, it's a Monday. What's not to love about poison and murder and death?
Well, so this week's story is a little bit more on the death side of things, not so much with the murder.
Oh, you're breaking the rules.
Yes. But it may involve a spot of poison, but that's up to you to decide, really. Mm. Mm. But it is a marvellous tale, one that I've been meaning to do for...
Meaning to do for a while,
and I deal with the honey. I've been meaning to do this one for a while because it is a great tale, and it's an old one where the details are sparse enough that I can make up stuff and you won't know the difference.
Most of your stories are made up.
Like, pretty much.
Pretty much. It's all just like, oh yeah, someone died at this point. I will make up their entire life.
And you've never sat me down and worried about this, really.
No.
Sinead, you're
no.
making up a lot of very detailed murder stories. What's going on at home?
One knows better than to ask.
This is the principle of the podcast. Well, anyway, Nick, come with me now. Come with me now. It's a hot July day.
No, it's not. It's a miserable May.
Ah, but back where we're going.
Back then it was July.
It was July. Do you not know in the past it was always July?
It's always July. Okay, let's go with that.
And we're in Strasbourg.
Ooh.
It is a lovely place on the border between France and Germany. At the time, the Alsace region. Now the... Mm-hmm. I think it's technically France.
I don't know, actually. Are you sure?
You have a little Google. Go on, then.
I'm going to Google it. Talk amongst yourselves for a moment. Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. He doesn't understand how a podcast works.
You talk to yourself all the time, dear. It's fine.
Okay. Sometimes I feel things at night.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're roommates.
It is in France.
Yay.
It's in France.
I knew it was bloody in France. Every time. You make me doubt myself.
Yeah, but then you question it, don't you? And you're not sure. I'm in there. I'm in your brain. I am. I'm in there. Nibbling away. Going, arr.
Like a particularly upsetting worm.
Yes. Making you doubt your geography knowledge.
Yes. But you're fueled by wine, so you're easily
fueled
distracted.
By wine. This is very true. Ooh, shiny.
So we are in Strasbourg. Which we've now determined is in France.
It's in France.
At the time,
France.
It wasn't sure. It was the Alsace region, so they were kind of like, we're a bit French, we're a bit German. Oh, we don't know, depending on the day. And it is 1518.
Oh, wow.
Way back we're going.
That's way back when.
Yes. That's why I was establishing that it wasn't quite France or Germany at the time. It wasn't like last week, where they were like, we're still not sure who we are.
But even then, it was definitely July.
It was definitely July, and it was definitely hot. And people, Nick, are making their way about the town. It's a lovely day. Merchants selling their goods in the sunshine. Children heading to and from whatever version of school was in existence
jobs,
back
I think,
then. Jobs, actually, yes. That's fine.
The mine.
There's a baby with a pickaxe. There's not even a mine around there. It's just really got high hopes. Yes, neighbours exchanging pleasantries. It's a lovely, lovely day. And then Frau Trofia comes out into the street. Such a wonderful day. And she is so happy to see everybody out in the street that she makes a little spin. Takes a little spin and it does a little twirl. Just feels like dancing, Nick.
Does she? Does she?
She does.
Does she break into a Disney song by any chance? There goes the baker with his tray.
As always, there goes Frau Trofia with her cruel song. She may well have been singing, she may have been humming, she may have been saying all sorts of things, but she is dancing, Nick. She is dancing in the streets.
Oh, what a jolly time she must be having.
A leap and a shake, and who doesn't love a good dance in the street? And this wasn't just a mere two-step and then on she goes to purchase some German bread. No, she keeps dancing. She keeps going. She doesn't seem to want to stop dancing.
Who does?
And also, a few people see her dancing. They think, we're going to join in. It's a summer's day. Life is good. Bon, oui, jawohl. Yes, they're dancing, dancing, dancing. But those people don't seem to want to stop dancing either, Nick.
Ooh.
No, the lady doesn't want to stop dancing. The people who have joined her in the dance, not after an hour, not after 2 hours.
Well, that's a lot of dancing.
Not even after 6 hours.
I mean, 20 minutes, I'm knackered.
Yes, with your pointy dancing.
With my pointy dancing. It's exhausting.
Much patented, yes. Frau Trofia would not stop dancing.
Mm.
Not for hours and not for days.
That's good going.
It was said at one point she did collapse from exhaustion.
I'm not surprised.
But as soon as she regained a vague sense of consciousness, she started dancing again. And what's more, the people who were dancing around her in the street seemed to want to carry on dancing too. This small huddle of dancers suddenly swelled to a dozen and then doubled again until scores of people were dancing in the streets of Strasbourg in 1518 on this hot July day, dancing and dancing and dancing. And as the days passed, more people joined. And despite the high heat and the clear exhaustion on their faces and the visible injuries that people now seem to be carrying, nobody would stop dancing.
Oh.
Yes, something strange was afoot.
Something very, that would be peculiar indeed.
In Strasbourg. Now, what do you think's going on, Nick?
Is it some sort of plague?
A plague, a you plague. Say?
Or,
some sort of plague?
Or is there a little piper in the corner, piping away, getting them to follow him around Strasbourg?
Into the mountain. Yes, okay, you bastards didn't pay me last time I got rid of all your rats.
Exactly.
There isn't a piper in the corner just making them dance. But let's go back to the streets of Strasbourg. Maybe a plague is upon them. Some sort of dancing plague.
Dancing plague. I know this one. The dancing plague.
But before we start trying to figure out what on earth has befallen the people of Strasbourg, let's go back to the dancing situation and talk through what apparently happened actually on the streets to help these people at the time, because it's quite brilliant.
Is it a particular style of dancing?
No, well, see, the style of dancing hasn't quite been established. People say jigs are going on. You can have your own interpretation.
So it's a bit of a freestyle thing going on. They weren't just waltzing around Strasbourg.
Yeah, there was a lot of sort of big fish, little fish, cardboard box going on.
Classic 16th century dance.
I mean, it is Strasbourg, so, you know, I suppose they are maybe kind of just starting to venture into, what are the styles of dances at the time?
Absolutely.
Yes. We're not far from Vienna. We're quite far from Vienna.
We're quite far from Vienna. But
they're very confused with Salzburg, that's the problem. They've got an identity crisis as well as a dancing plague. But what do you do? What would you do when faced with now scores of people who just won't stop dancing? I mean, what can you do?
Well, that is an interesting choice. I mean, join in for a bit because it seems quite fun. A bit of a party going on somewhere. You don't quite know who is the party person, but why the hell not? Then after that, then go home for a nap.
Be going home have for a lie nap, down. Your solution to this is go in and join them for a bit and then fuck off for a nap and go, oh yeah, screw
them. I didn't say it was a solution. It was like, what would I do? So I'm not claiming to offer any solutions to anything. It just sounds quite fun. So I'm going to join in for a bit. And then go for a nap.
You are the man there with a bottle of white wine, loving this.
Exactly. Having a grand time, but leaving when I'm done.
while the dancing plague is going on and observers come upon this who haven't been afflicted by the dancing, those who seem to be immune to this dancing plague, they are seeing these people who are just relentlessly dancing and they don't seem to want to dance, but they can't stop.
They just can't stop the dancing.
Yes, they can't stop the dancing. I do like the idea that there is one guy maybe in the middle who was just tapped on the shoulders, like, are you okay? Like, oh, I just thought this was a party. I'm terribly lonely. And everyone trying to make the best out of a bad situation. You've got to imagine that there's some greasy guy in there trying to chat up the women, just coming up going, verily, my lady, thou hast the moves like Jagger. Well, thou grant me thy dainty hand in marriage. Perhaps a swift tumble in yonder mulberry bush.
But it's covered in bees.
It's covered in bees. Don't go in there. That's why we're dancing. Oh, God, I'm dancing for a different reason now. Somebody help me. Well, help them, but then help me. This is very confusing.
Yes.
The authorities do have to get involved because dancing is happening in the streets and people seem upset. The authorities arrive. These are a combination of religious leaders of the area, doctors, the authorities themselves, you know, sort of town officials. And they are sort of standing in the street, scratching their heads, going, what's going on? Are these people possessed? Or are they merely possessed by a terrible sickness?
Well, I mean, demons in the legs. That's going to do it. Possessed legs.
Now, the authorities are, I can only assume, shimmying their way through the crowds while this dancing is happening to try and get a look at them. Do you dance along with them? Does it look weird if you're not dancing?
This is true.
Sort of try and not scare the horses. But the doctors going through, trying to examine them, grabbing them for a waltz when going, stick out your tongue, or probably back in that day, shove a leech on their face and go, they're cured. The doctors are moving through the crowds trying to assess what's happening and they come back with their verdict. Hot blood.
Well, quite.
Yes, all these mammals.
Got to get that heat out. So dancing, it's a good way of
exactly.
Get it out of the body.
Their blood is hot. They're overheated. But they say this fever, this is a fever. And the best treatment is just to let the people dance it out of their system.
Get it out of the system, absolutely.
Just keep dancing. The authorities are like, okay, so we do nothing. It's like, oh, no, some of the town officials say. We must help these people, and we will help them by building a stage.
Perhaps it's... Right, we're going to narrow it down like some sort of competition. The first 10 on the stage, they're going to get judged. Then we're going to whittle it down to get the best dancer in Strasbourg.
They're going to make the best out of a bad situation.
Exactly, here. Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Very, very early X Factor.
Strasbourg's got talent.
And problems. I shit you not. A stage was built in the middle of the horse market. Huge area was cleared. The people weren't in the horse market. So this area, this stage was prepared. And the crazed dancers were sort of ushered in that direction. But onto the stage, they didn't put the dancers. No, they brought in a band to accompany them. No,
well, that's kind.
Yes. And also, professional dancers.
Well, some of them might be looking a bit dodgy. You've got to give a few tips here and there.
That is, I don't know what message that's sending to the poor, sick people dancing themselves, quite possibly to death in the street. Well, I know you're all dreadfully afflicted, but could you dance just a little bit better?
Exactly. The message was, you're shit at dancing.
Let's just really rub salt into that wound.
You need help.
You can imagine the sight. There is a stage with musicians on there who are just, okay, we've just been shipped in to do this. Professional dancers in front of now hundreds of people who are compulsively dancing. I don't know what kind of dances the professionals were doing. Because again, what's the professional dance of the time? Is it interpretive dance? Is it sort of ballet? I don't know.
I don't know. Everyone's doing the Macarena.
You can imagine.
YMCA throughout Strasbourg.
That's where it began.
That's where it began.
The logic was, though, behind this, you did touch on it there, is that if the people had musicians and proper dancers to inspire them, they would dance better and bigger and this fever would leave their bodies sooner.
Yeah, there's a vague, strange logic to that.
So they've got to be watching the dancers, dancing along to the right music. They also hired, literally called strong men, to hold the revelers up so they kept dancing.
Okay.
Keep dancing.
Keep dancing.
So the dance fever turns into a dance party, and it does not help one bit.
No, I can imagine probably not in the long run.
No. Things get a whole lot worse, because if reports are to be believed, now there's up to 400 people dancing in Strasbourg.
Pretty impressive.
And not just for a day, not just an overnight, this is days and weeks. Mm. This goes on and on and on. This is the best gig that band has ever done, by the way. They probably milked it for all it was worth. 400 people. They're like, we've never even seen this many people in this day and age. Wow. But aside from the cracking atmosphere for the band, people are, of course, dropping down from exhaustion and injury. But others carry on. Those who cannot get up are taken away and receive treatment. But, you know, they're either falling into comas or they're dying. They're dying from heat exhaustion, from just the sheer strain that has been put on them. They're not stopping for food and drink. Mm-hmm. They don't seem to feel the pain in their feet and in their limbs. It was said, and it is contested, but the famous quote is that the dancing plague of Strasbourg claimed up to 15 lives a day, either from heat stroke or the terrible toll that the dancing had on their bodies. There's one report, there's a quote from a poem from the city, and it said, "In their madness, people kept up their dancing until they fell unconscious and many died."
I mean, it's a catchy poem.
It's a shit poem.
Perhaps it's better in German.
Maybe. Or French. They were fighting over it. As I've said, the dance party has swelled because there's entertainment that's been put on. And again, I'm sure some people had shipped in from other places going, this is the place to be right now. But those who are affected are not getting any better. The townspeople and the officials think, okay, big dance party in the stage isn't working, so we've got to assume that they're all sinning. This is an act of God. So now we have to ban music and dancing from the town. No more dancing for anybody.
I do love how dancing is a punishment from God.
Sometimes it feels that way.
Oh no, I've been bad. Go do a jig. Dance, you bastards.
They really believed it at the time. Yeah. And so they are now banning music and dancing. It's basically Footloose. They're going through all the films here. So now there's a ban on dancing in a place where people can't stop dancing.
Nice.
The band is taken off and killed, we must presume.
The only possible explanation.
They've had a hell of a week. They've gone from the greatest gig of their lives to, what? We can't do anything anymore? Yeah, just kill them. It's fine. And also, I don't think that someone who has probably been dancing on a broken foot for the best part of a month is really going to care if you tell them that this is illegal now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in an effort to help some of the poor souls, some were taken, dance-led, to a shrine in the mountains. This is actually outside of the town as well. So in this region, it's a shrine to Saint Vitus. Do you know of Saint Vitus?
I can't say I do.
Patron saint of dancing.
Well, it's very lucky he was there.
Very, very lucky. Very lucky there was a shrine there. Now, the stories around this, I think, have been a little bit embellished, or people have gotten confused. And I would welcome people's input on Saint Vitus here, because my knowledge of the saint is limited. But at the time, Saint Vitus became, I'm not sure why they became the patron saint of dancing, but people danced in front of their shrine to show fealty, to sort of show loyalty and to pay their respects. That's why it was a patron saint of dancing. Okay. So whether or not the priests of Strasbourg thought, let's make the best out of a bad situation here and just get all these dancing people and go, this is absolutely brilliant for all of us who follow St. Vitus. When they were taken to this shrine, the people who were treated there, from one article in The Guardian, they said their bloodied feet were placed into red shoes and they were led around a wooden figurine of the saint. There's no indication whether they were cured or they stopped dancing or if it helped. It just seemed like, yep, let's just do some dancing around this scene.
They were normal shoes until their bloody feet went into them. Then they became red shoes.
That's a good point, yeah. There were bandages that were falling off. But the dancing frenzy continued from July until September, when people slowly started to calm down. The crazy dancing just came to a stop by itself.
See, it is mad.
Bad as it sounds, it is well documented and most famous of the cases, but it is not a standalone case.
No, indeed not.
Of a sudden dance fever sweeping Europe, and we're not just talking about the twist. I've written down pause for laughter here, Nick. That wasn't a very big laugh for that joke.
Oh, my apologies.
Yeah. I did write that. I go, oh, that's a bad joke. But yeah, as you said, you've obviously heard of dance fever sweeping Europe.
Well, indeed, yeah. There's a spate of them, really, isn't there? Sort of medieval period.
Yes, I have a few extra stories if you'd like to hear them.
Yeah, because I've done some Googling on this subject myself for potential episodes, which you've stolen from me. Is it choreomania?
So I'd be interested to hear your take on choreomania. I didn't delve into it hugely for this one because the different sort of stories, it sort of goes off on tangents, really. But if you have information on it, please do jump in with it. Mm-hmm. So, as I said, these dancing plagues, these dance fevers, these dancing episodes had been sweeping through Europe. Now, the earliest case you have, there's some that date back to about 800. There's one in Germany in 1020 or thereabouts, where 18 peasants started singing and dancing very loudly outside a Christmas Eve service.
That's because they were pissed. That's because they had been at the beers on Christmas Eve. So,
Is it still in 1020, really, the same sort of vibe as this day and age for Christmas Eve?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, fine. That was more of a Tudor thing, though.
They've been having at the communion wine or something.
Well, they weren't in the service. The priest was very annoyed at them because he came out and was like, you're ruining the Christmas Eve service.
No, they were just drunk. They were just some mates who had got drunk of an evening.
They were apparently dancing around. They joined hands and they danced a ring dance of sin, round and around and around, singing and chanting and leaping up and down, and no one could stop them. It was said that these people danced continuously for days on end, and then they eventually stopped because they fell unconscious. Of course, there was an embellishment to it that the priest cursed them to dance for an entire year, and they did, and then they collapsed into a big heap of death.
Right. Okay.
Priests not known for cursing people.
That is true. That is true.
In 1247, in another German town, 200 residents were said to have taken to the streets and began to dance and leap about on a bridge over the Mosel River until the bridge collapsed and they all fell into the water, resulting in death by drowning of some of the people who were still dancing as they went
still
down.
Still dancing underwater.
Still danced, like on the Titanic, they'll dance to the last. Tales would ripple through Germany and France of people compulsively dancing for hours in these short spells all over these places, from weeks and days and even months on end, either dying from exhaustion or falling gravely ill from various dance-related injuries. There was one account in another report I read. The abbot of a monastery in the city of Trier recalled an amazing epidemic. And that is quite a good thing, an amazing epidemic. We forget the old use of the word amazing, but this is amazing. In which a collection of hallucinating dancers hopped and leapt for as long as 6 months, some of them dying after breaking ribs or loins.
Okay, broken loins.
Yes, you dance your knob off.
Dance your loin off.
It just falls off. How do you break your loin?
I think there's some vigorous dancing going on there.
Yes, a whole new move that did not work out well.
Absolutely.
They're limboing for their life. But as I said, these dancing plagues spread across France, Germany, Belgium and the Netherlands, with either single people making a spectacle of themselves or small groups of people overcome with the need to shake their stuff in the street. But what could have caused such behaviour? And where does our old friend or fiend poison come into play?
I know.
Okay. All right, Nikki. Nikki, what am I doing that for? I don't know. Never called you that in my life.
No, don't do that. That's weird.
Nickington the Third, what's your big theory?
Ergot.
Interesting. Now we've covered Ergot before.
You have covered in France, I believe.
We did. Now, we covered Ergot poisoning in Deadly Nightcaps episode 32, a very recent case. It was in 1951 in the beautiful French town of Pont-Saint-Esprit.
Well remembered.
Where we had people being beset by imaginary tigers and sausages because of an outbreak of Ergot poisoning. Yeah. Ergotism.
Ergotism.
Mm. Ergotism, for those who need a quick reminder, is a type of fungus, in short, that infects certain grains. And if it's not spotted, if it's not treated, it will affect the entire crop. Grains get taken up, they get milled into flour. Flour then goes and makes your bread, and the bread goes into your mouth, and then madness ensues.
Then you go crazy.
You do it, because ergotism produces all manner of nasty symptoms, including a psychosis or type of mania because of the presence of alkaloids that are very, very similar to LSD.
Jolly times.
So it's not a fun way to take LSD. It's not like, oh, that's a nice side effect. It comes with a lot of other nasty, nasty stuff that goes on. You're either going to trip balls or your limbs are going to fall off. You might remember the phrase loosening of limbs.
I don't say I did, actually, but it sounds interesting.
Now, ergotism is thankfully quite rare these days, apart from that story in 1951. It still happens in certain countries. But you can imagine back in medieval times, in the olden days, oh, the fields were rife with ergot because they were damp. Their farming techniques weren't anywhere near as advanced as they are now. And no one would have been able to tell what was a bad grain and how do you treat it? How do you get rid of it? What do we do? Ergotism wasn't officially identified, I think it was until the 19th century. But the multiple outbreaks of these strange occurrences of dancing and, well, mass hysteria, which was known at the time as mass hysteria, people often think was caused by ergot poisoning. You've got ergot making people scream and run wild in the streets, doing all sorts of awful things and vomiting and purging and suffering from gangrene at the same time. But would it make you dance for hours?
Well, that is a very good question. I've not tried it, so I couldn't say for sure.
Loads of people credit the dancing plague to ergotism because they're going, well, how is it possible that upwards of 400 people, even if it wasn't 400 people, it was definitely scores of people, certainly hundreds of people, and they kept dancing. And it is well documented, crazy as it sounds, it is very well documented, this case, and some of the smaller cases around, they have been well documented. How can all these people dance compulsively the whole time and not show any other symptoms of ergot poisoning?
That's very true.
That's the thing. Now, maybe the records of them are honing in on the one fantastic element of this phenomenon is the dancing. Maybe they're not commenting that people are also puking and shitting themselves and their limbs are falling off and they're covered in pustules, which would be a little bit more obvious sign of ergotism. Indeed. And would everyone have the same symptoms? There's an idea that's been shared by one writer, John Waller, who argued against ergotism as the cause of it. Is it likely that everyone would display exactly the same symptoms and be dancing about?
That's very true. Then on the other side, you've got, is it some sort of psychological, mass hysteria, some sort of big...
Yes.
Because that time, especially, is quite stressful. There's lots, not much fun things happening around. Lots of conflict and battles and wars and bandits raiding everything every 5 seconds. So is it just some sort of mass hysteria... If one person just goes snap, so then everyone else goes, oh, fuck it, that looks fun. And then it just grows and grows and grows and grows.
I mean, crazy as that sounds, and as flippant as we may say it's genuinely a theory. It is a theory that the towns, that all of these cases, you have a case of what's now known as mass psychogenic illness, which was known as mass hysteria. Mass hysteria is a slightly outdated phrase. But it's the school of thought where, yes, those levels of stress, all of the difficulty that all the people are suffering, a little bit of maybe religious mania as well, people thinking that they were sinning or that they were suffering and that God was not on their side, or Saint Vitus, if they followed them, was not on their side, then they just start acting out, they start dancing, they start absolutely going crazy in this effort to try and appease whatever is going on in their head or whatever they think is going on above them. And then everyone else gets caught up in the hysteria. Is that everyone else sees it and they are literally caught up in it. There's no other way around it. So you've got the summer heat, the very, very stressful occasions, and like there's not been a good crop, I think, for in 1518. Other writers have said, it looked like the reports were wasn't a good time to be alive.
Around, absolutely.
Everyone is swept up in their madness, in their frail, stressed states, and they just couldn't stop dancing lest they fail in their duties to God or if they hadn't purged their sins enough in their own feeling.
I mean, it's also, it's very freeing, is it? And as well, being in that sort of big environment where other people are doing, everyone else is having a dance. You wouldn't necessarily get up and have a dance by yourself in the middle of a room. But if the room is full of dancing people, you go, fuck it, no one's going to notice. So people go, oh, yeah. So everyone sort of just joins in because it's there's no sort of spotlight on any one individually. It's just, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
So you're much more that sort of person. You're like, if there's a big mass party, then you'll be like, come on, I'm going to have a dance. The idea of a dance circle and you being shoved into the middle is your idea of hell.
Not, no.
But yeah, look at festivals and look at all of these sorts of things where everyone's together and like, yay, oh my God, the euphoria.
Exactly.
In this case, it's slightly less euphoria, more ow.
I imagine it probably started off in a slightly euphoric way.
Mm, maybe.
But then as you go through, it becomes something much more sinister and dark as you find you can't stop. But I'm sure it probably started off in a jolly way.
Well, possibly it started off in a jolly way. And again, that's why the St. Vitus element of this story was interesting, because was the woman at the beginning, was she trying to dance to appease St. Vitus or in tribute in the street and was just overcome? And people have written about, again, that, you know, you have people overtaken by religious hysteria, as it was called, and then trying to do something to appease the saints. And then everyone was like, oh my God, well, if she's dancing loads, yeah, I should dance too for St. Vitus. So maybe it did start in a dark place from there. There's another theory. Not sure it's a theory applied to this case, but it is a reference that is often mentioned in the same breath of the story. And I would love it if this was a theory that people were genuinely applying, but it is also a very curious explanation for why people dance involving venom.
I think I know what this one is as well. And it is fucking nuts.
It's involving a woman in Italy. Do you know where I'm going with this?
I do know what you're going with.
Yep. Who was shimmying and dancing around in the street, just walking down the street, looking a bit stressed, and was dancing. And then suddenly all these people ran up in brightly coloured clothes and musicians, and they were dancing with her, and they were playing music. Oh my God, oh my God. The woman had been bitten by a tarantula.
Native to Italy.
A wolf spider
is not a tarantula.
It's a type of tarantula. Trust me, I looked it up. You have to look at a particular way in the Latin, but it's true. Wolves, I'm using the colloquialisms, but they are mashed together in a big spidery goodness.
And they're all big mashed up spiders. That sounds terrifying.
You'd rather have a mashed up spider than a live one that's coming at you for a dance.
Not if they're mashed up and have now got like 16 legs.
Oh, okay, that's fair. Oh, we had a super spider. The story is that the venom of this wolf spider makes people convulse. There's one school of thought is that it makes you convulse, but then there's another school of thought that is the only way to cure a tarantula bite is to shimmy. You've got to shimmy and shake and dance. I don't know how, whether you're shaking the venom out of you, but the legends at the time were that you had to dance and you had to shimmy. And it would be helped if you had exactly the right sort of music available.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
When you've got to get the right tempo, the right beat, the right... So music helps in that regard.
Well documented, the venom of the wolf spider was said to be, by the scholar Cancellieri, to have the following effect. He wrote about this. When one is in the hold of this ill-wished beast, one has 100 different feelings at a time. Okay. One cries, dances, vomits, trembles, laughs, pales, cries, faints, and one will suffer great pain. And finally, after a few days, if unaided, you die. Sweat and antidotes relieve the sick, but the sovereign and the only remedy is music.
Okay, right.
So we were mad at the beginning, now we've gone a little bit madder.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
If you are bitten by this spider, you must dance and you must have music.
You must dance.
To help you dance. So maybe in Strasbourg, one of two things was happening. Either
there was a tarantula outbreak.
That lady at the beginning had been bitten by a spider and she was just trying to shimmy the venom out and they were all trying to help her. Or everyone had been bitten by spiders.
Right.
And they were dancing the poison away.
Yeah. No, I must admit, I'm not buying those
not convinced.
Particular explanations, I have to say.
Well, it is where the dance, the tarantella, comes from.
I must admit, also, I'm not familiar with that dance.
Oh, you're not? If you have read or seen The Doll's House by Ibsen, then you'll know it well. But it is a dance, the tarantella.
Okay.
But it's from this tarantula venom thing.
Tarantula venom dance.
The shaky tarantula venom dance. There we go. So, we have multiple explanations of what happened with the dancing plague.
All of
them
entirely legitimate, absolutely.
The only one that we haven't talked about, and maybe we shouldn't say it, but it's quite possible they were possessed by the devil, who loves to dance.
Demons do love legs, so...
Where does that come from, the demons and the legs? And
I have no idea. I just made it up.
Oh, you just made it up. I thought that was some sort of, oh, is that a cult thing? Really? Interesting.
No, I just made that up.
That is the story of the dancing plague of Strasbourg, of the dancing plague that swept across Europe, and those special dancy spiders who will bite you.
it's a shame it stopped, really.
Why did it stop?
Yeah, why did it stop? Well, I mean, it was still going in the 50s. So,
well, there was
That wasn't really dancing, was it? That was more general being nuts and then dying.
The ergot poisoning case, go back and listen to it if you haven't heard it yet, guys. It's fascinating. But that was far more people being very, very ill and hallucinating horrific things and jumping off buildings and rending their garments and seeing all manner of things because of the Vichy government basically cutting corners where bread was concerned. Yes, but less dancing. Mm. Less dancing.
Less
there.
Dancing. So, less dancing there.
I don't know. I'm in two minds because while it seems so strange that if everyone had gotten ergotism and they all displayed the same symptoms and none of the others, how else do you explain this?
Well, I think that it's not unheard of for these to be mass psychological events and potentially this is something we need to get Rowan on and her opinions on this, but they do happen, these mass things where people just get so caught up in themselves and what other people are doing that it's a legitimate thing.
It's a crazy time because again
it is it's an incredibly stressful time. Life is hard. We think it's difficult now, but it's like, life is horrendous.
I suppose at that sort of time, if you've got these incidents of mass psychogenic illness, you've also at the same time got lots of more cases of lycanthropy as well that we don't have now. So yes, maybe there is something in it that everyone was crazy.
But also I think everyone was crazy, but it was also in a time where religion is such a much more prevalent force than it is now. You do have these things where people are absolutely obsessed with, okay, St. Vitus, his thing is dancing, great. Where that comes from, who knows? It'd be interesting to find out. Was he a good big dancer himself?
To look up and see whether there was any dancing involved, and I don't think there was.
But I suppose if that is your only explanation, is the crops have failed and what have you, we need to pray. That's because that's the only option. There's no such thing as pesticides and all this sort of stuff, or fertilizer and such like. It's God's will. How do we get God on our good side? Well, he likes his saints. St. Vitus, his shrine is just up the road. He enjoyed a good party, did St. Vitus. So let's have at it.
You've also got ergotism again. It links ergotism with another bit of folklore that we've talked about before, because ergotism was also called St. Anthony's fire.
Absolutely.
So Anthony's fire, and it was because of the burning sensation in the body, and then people often took it as a way, and then it gets sort of misconstrued over the years, but sort of saying, oh, this is, a thing for St. Anthony, and St. Anthony is sending his vengeance down upon us because he's, destroying our crops and he's burning our skin and we must do something to appease him. So yeah, maybe.
So yeah, I think it's that combination of incredibly stressful life, not understanding science behind things that happen.
You don't need to understand the science, Nick. It was spiders.
Spiders. Or there was a mass tarantula plague.
What if it was spiders?
Well, you never know. There could have been... where do tarantulas come from? Sort of South America-y sort of...
Well, no. It's a bloody wolf spider.
Okay. Perhaps the conditions in the previous year were particularly ripe for spider populations, and they had burst across Europe. Perhaps that's why you don't get them in England. There's a big channel in the way.
Yes, maybe.
So the spiders couldn't get across to the UK.
They couldn't. They were trying. They were bloody trying.
Couldn't get across the channel. So that's why it's mainly mainland Europe.
So very quickly, you mentioned earlier on Coriomania. So when you type in St. Vitus, you get, and I'm reading this from the Britannica website here, you get a Syndem Coria, also called St. Vitus Dance, Coria Minor, Infectious Coria, however pronouncing it, Rheumatic Coria, a neurological disorder characterized by irregular and involuntary movement of muscle groups in various parts of the body, followed by strep infection. The name St. Vitus Dance derives from the late Middle Ages when persons with the disease attended the chapels of St. Vitus, who was believed to have curative powers. The disorder was first explained by the English physician Thomas Syndom, most often a manifestation of rheumatic fever. Syndom chorea occurs most frequently between blah, 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 and there's the age and stuff like that. So yeah, it maybe it's a little bit of two sort of stories or explanations mashed together. Mm. You know, with the dance fever, no one seems to be going, oh, it's this. It's what we just said. It's St. Vitus dance. But then they sent them to St. Vitus going, okay, the people dance in front of him. Maybe that will help.
What you just read out there was it's a symptom of perhaps some sort of rheumatic fever.
Yeah.
Perhaps there was an epidemic going around Strasbourg
time.
And this was just a really weird symptom of that then got sort of, yeah, mushed together with St. Vitus's chapel, which was nearby, and all this sort of stuff. And it just got, yeah, is it conflated? The two things just pushed together?
Quite possible. It could have been a fever. It could have been a form of poisoning. It could have been all three mixed together.
Could have been one giant spider queen.
It could have
been. Like Shelob from Lord of the Rings. She was there in the mountains.
She was dancing too.
Dancing away.
She was the band.
Sending out her spider babies to bite everyone.
Indeed. And the devil turned up that day going, I'm going to possess this. Oh my God, this town has got enough problems. Just walked away. Absolutely not. No.
The devil was there going, oh, I hate spiders.
No. Ew. Well, what do you think, people? A suitably mad story for Deadly Nightcaps. We hope you enjoyed it. It didn't involve murder, but it did involve a lot of death and possible poisonings and the poisoning of the mind. Yes, what are your theories? Which theory do you like the best about what caused the dance fever of Strasbourg? Are there other dance fever stories that we should know about and that we should cover in the future? Or are there more interesting mass poisoning cases involving nature that you'd like us to dig into? Make sure that you leave your thoughts in the comments of this episode. Keep sending us more suggestions of stories that we can cover. And generally, just dance. Dance, people.
Dance, dance.
Dance while you can.
Dance.
Dance like your life depends upon it. Thanks for listening, guys. We will see you on Friday for the main episode. We will see you next week for more Deadly Nightcaps. But in the meantime, keep drinking, keep talking about poison, and remember, your loved ones are trying to kill you.
Bye.
Keep dancing.
Dance, dance, dance.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.